Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Beneath Vancouver Radio. Hopefully you're having a wonderful day, and thanks for tuning in again. Today's special guest is Terrence. Terrence actually met about 3 years ago at UBC. He's a recent UBC graduate as well. He's actually working with the AMS over at UBC. So Terrence, how are you doing, man?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for taking the time, obviously, to chat with me, tell us your story and everything like that. So let's start off with that. Tell us kind of what you do, who you are, who's Terrence?
Yeah, well, I'm a recent grad. I studied poli-sci and economics at UBC. And then now I'm working at the AMS. I'm doing a lot of the marketing there. And I freelance some photography. I teach some badminton.
Nice.
That's all I do right now.
All I do right now.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess kind of we'll start off with what you were studying, obviously, and political science, you know, might not be the traditional route afterwards once you graduate brand and marketing. So kind of tell us why poli-sci and what was that kind of transition into? Maybe, you know what, I'm studying this, but it might not be kind of what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, from high school, I never wanted to do poli-sci.
Okay.
I kind of didn't like politics. So yeah. I wanted to go into psychology, and I applied to a lot of universities. There's Vancouver, Toronto, and all the other places. And I landed UBC because I want to stay with my family. And the first year, I hated psych.
Yeah.
I hated every part of it. And I wanted to transfer to solder.
Mm-hmm.
And then math 184.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out for me. And then I was like, ah, shit. Nah, I got to keep doing psych.
Yeah.
So I'm doing psych. And it was the summer of second year. I was in the summer. And I'm taking one of the summer courses, and I got an email from Paul. He's like, hey, you're accepted. I'm like,
yeah,
great. I didn't even know I replied. So I go into the office. I'm like, hey, how can you pull me out of psych now and you know, not give me a W because it's way past? And she said, you're not in my list. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
That's what I've been studying for.
It's like, you're not in poly. I'm like, you just sent me an email like 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, it looks like we made a mistake.
Yeah.
I'm like, How does that work? And then she's like, don't worry, I'll let you in anyways. I'm like, cool.
Okay.
That's kind of weird. Turns out that happened with over like 50 students.
Oh, wow.
So that year was really inflated. And I was like, okay, it's way better than psych.
Mm-hmm.
So I started taking poli, and then I did my econ minor. And throughout the years, I was like, okay, I actually quite enjoy some of this stuff. And then studying mostly like how politics affects the economy, some environmental politics, and some foreign politics like Syria and all that, and China. And that's how it ended there. But I never wanted
to actually pursue it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be a politician.
Yeah.
And I really liked marketing. So the latter 2 years of my undergrad, I spent a lot of time trying to get into that industry,
and
taking whatever steps I could, you know, even in retail. I pushed my managers, hey, let me do something.
Yeah.
That's more creative, more marketing based. And last year I'd landed 2 internships.
Nice.
And I did them back to back. So I worked like 70 hour weeks.
Yeah.
And I grinded that out. And
Here in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. I did both nonprofits.
Okay.
One of them was for sports and funding low income families.
Okay.
And their kids.
Yeah.
And the other one was local. It's won by the BCIT in Richmond, the aerospace campus. And that place was, it helped families. It was basically a giant hub for families with and kids with autism.
Oh, yeah. I drive that past. Yeah.
So that was really cool. And then I graduated. And the day of my graduation, they called me and said, hey, would you like to come back and interview for a job at the AMS? I'm like,
yeah.
Cool. I never remember I applied. Again, I don't remember I applied for anything.
All these sudden emails.
Yeah. They called me. I'm like, hey, I'm busy right now. I'm lining up. But can I do it tomorrow? And she's like, okay, sure. And
yeah.
I pressed them. I'm like, hey. So, you know, it's a little bit of story. It's like, I didn't know if I'm going to get the job or not or anything. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll do another 2 years at BCIT. So I applied, and then the deadline was coming up. So the guys at AMS really only had 4 days to decide.
What's going on.
Exactly. And I'm like, hey, hire me in 4 days, I'm going to BCIT.
Yeah.
Luckily, they hired me.
Okay.
And
I'm doing that. Nice. Yeah. So I guess kind of to backtrack all of that, we actually had a class together. I forgot which one it was, Paul, the IR one. I forgot. The prof was pretty cool. A pretty interesting class.
Jenny Pearson?
No.
Not that one.
No. The one that was like, It was in my second year.
Oh, the
in
one? Our second year. Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Is it the one with Arjun?
Arjun. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Arjun. Yeah. That was an interesting class. So it was that going into that summer is the summer that I met you and we had class together and we, you know, chatted occasionally. But I guess just kind of unwrapping your entire story. What was kind of the shift from, obviously you told us like you were interested in marketing and you kind of did the steps that you needed to do to find that. But what did you feel was like your biggest struggle? Because for me, kind of similar story with you. I first studied political science, hoping to get an IR, and then I transferred into kin. And I was like, I like kin, but again, similar to you, I don't know if I want to do this for the rest of my life. And then I started finding ways to get involved with like branding, marketing, and just like, I guess, communication aspect in general. So what was kind of your hurdles that you had to go over in terms of how you could expose yourself into a more of a marketing industry job?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, look, I had problems. It was just meeting people.
Meeting people, okay.
I met this one guy who was in my club HKSA, and he taught me a lot about... He was an entrepreneur, and he was in the entrepreneur program at Sauder, and he taught me a lot about meeting people.
Yeah, the networking.
Building connections, yeah, and networking, and that's what I did for my club. And I did a lot of the PR stuff, and really it was just using those connections. And if you look back at it now, it kind of feels like I'm snaking. There's one time I was trying to get a partnership with Van City Originals, you know,
the clothing company. Yeah.
Yeah. I ended up just taking that connection and I reached out, said, hey, if you ever need someone that knows the demographic at UBC and you want to do a senior ambassadorship, I'm so down. And he commented the next day, he's like, hey, do you want to come and do the whole thing? Yeah, no. First time we met was in his office prepping for the Chinese New Year parade in Chinatown.
Yeah.
And Man City Regionals had the front head spot of the parade. So I brought four of my friends. We all wore their merch and we just gave away stuff in the rain for an hour for Chinese New Year.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, what it's all about, right? Like, a lot of it for me, and again, like share the same story. It's all about the people that you meet in the network and really just putting yourself out there and not being afraid. Like, not a lot of people could have just been just randomly on Instagram. You commented. Comment and just put yourself out there. And, you know, it's that risk that a lot of people are scared about. And, and obviously sometimes it pays off and sometimes it doesn't. But taking that kind of initiative, I think, is the hardest part for a lot of people. So you've obviously, and you mentioned this, obviously the networking component and meeting the people. When did you feel like maybe this is actually something that I can do now as obviously a full-time job as what you're doing right now for the marketing for AMS?
Well, I didn't have a choice.
Okay.
Honestly, I've always tried to be more a very social guy and I talk a lot. And I'm like, that's one of the skills I have was to make friends and be social. But really, I like... School-wise, I was never the greatest. Like, I wasn't very academic, and like, I don't live by C's or D's, get degrees or C's. But I was like, you know, I wasn't like super smart.
Yeah,
and I just never loved reading and all that, and I loved talking. So all the classes I had that were seminars or more debate based or more conversational based or writing about stuff that I usually enjoyed in were the classes I did the best on. For sure. So I think it was third year when I was working at the summer of third year, I was working at Indochino. They sold custom suits in downtown. And that was my first exposure to more corporate marketing. So I was working there and I spent the first 6 months measuring suits, which is one of my passions. I love suits. And all that. And since their companies is based in, well, first Victoria and then they moved to Vancouver, and the corporate office was actually just a couple steps down, I hit their marketing team up. I'm like, hey, can I do something? And I ended up filming a commercial for them, which was like super dope. It never aired because they didn't buy the spot. But we ended up posting it online and all their social
channels, on their social channels,
which was super dope. And like, there were a lot of struggles with it too, and like, I filmed it in a day. I had a week to edit it, but I was like hungover as well. So I was like,
It's the truth.
I was like, so that was like super fun. And then, meeting a lot of people in the business world and I was making their suits. It's like,
not everyone can do that, right?
And I used to start every person I met there. It was just a good hour conversation. And I knew that at that time, marketing in Vancouver is actually a great industry, mm-hmm. and I wanted to hop into it. I didn't know where I wanted to, like, in which sector, like fashion or tech or whatnot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I ended up in back at the campus, which is like, it's still really fun. Mm-hmm. Still really fun.
What was kind of, from like doing all these kind of creative things on the side, like you mentioned, obviously you're a freelance photographer, mm-hmm. and you did some video as well. Was that always been something that you've been interested in, or was mm-hmm. that something that just maybe got yeah. sparked by the marketing thing?
No, I always loved taking photos. I always sucked at taking photos. The first 3 to 4 years, I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
I still have a crazy ton to learn. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the first three to four years, I was just taking photos of my friends.
Yeah, just for fun.
And they looked so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, I was like, okay, if I really want to do this, I gotta learn my game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I started learning about on my own, and I asked a lot of my friends who were professional photographers,
mm-hmm.
and it was like super fun to learn about like the basics that I have honed now. But back then, 3 to 4 years ago, I was like, dang, these are new, and they're just buttons on the camera.
Yeah.
So yeah, now I'm having a lot more fun with what I do. It's like, it's more second nature now. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, now how am I going to utilize photos to use in marketing, rather yeah. than before it's like, oh, I'll just take photos and maybe it'll work.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's like kind of you have a different perspective, right? And different kind of, I guess you could say, even lens, mm-hmm. Looking through the photos that you're creating and the kind of content that you're creating. So I guess the following question that I wanted to ask you was, obviously now that you're involved in the whole, you know, marketing industry as a full-time job now,
mm-hmm.
has ever been a part where you're kind of, not necessarily reconsidering, but things that maybe you never really thought about was when you were just maybe getting into the industry, something that really like shocked you, or something that, you know, might have been a hurdle that you never
mm-hmm.
thought of?
Mm-hmm. Social media sucks. it sucks, especially when there's a lot of feedback. We talked about like before and off mic, and it was like, especially for the, let's just talk about UBC.
You mm-hmm.
know? UBC gets so much flack for money.
Yeah.
And the AMS is, I can't speak for the AMS, obviously, yeah. and it's not perfect. I know that as a student. But for a person who does marketing, most strictly on the business end and working with the food outlets that we own and our catering business that mm-hmm. we own, and occasionally working with student campaigns, but marketing is solely my job.
Mm-hmm.
People give me messages or send me messages telling me, hey, can you stop taking part of our tuition fee? Or
yeah.
like, hey, I really hate the AMS. Can you do something about it? I'm like, well, the best way to do it is not messaging.
It's not to message,
it's
the,
not to message yeah, me about it.
The marketing guy, he yeah. might not be able to help you out.
Exactly. And I'm like, so yeah, social media sucks. Second thing I learned was social media is still very hard to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You really gotta put consistent content out, people that people enjoy, and really know your market.
Yeah.
And for me, especially photography, that for what I do right now, there's no market for it.
Yeah.
I think like Instagram now, it's so many models.
Yeah, it's
and
saturated.
And food bloggers.
Yeah.
Strictly food bloggers.
Especially in Vancouver. I feel like everyone's a
in Vancouver.
Foodie, yeah.
Exactly.
Insert name and then foodie, and that's your Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrence Foodie. Aaron
yeah,
foodie.
Everyone, like, take photos with your iPhone and you pump up the saturation.
Yeah.
Then you've
Snapseed
got.
Snapseed or whatever.
Yeah, and then you're good now. And then yeah. for me, like, right now I'm doing a lot of conferences.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday, I have another one on campus at the Alumni Center.
Okay.
It's like a really meaningful one, too. My buddy actually recommended me to the organizer,
mm-hmm.
and it's like an Afrocentrism conference.
Nice.
It's 3 days, and they got crazy great speakers.
Yeah.
And right now I'm just shooting a bunch of conferences.
Yeah.
And like, how do you post conferences
yeah,
on Instagram and have people really enjoy that?
Engage,
content?
Yeah.
No
yeah.
one's going to enjoy that. And that's...
No one's even going to see it, probably. Like
exactly.
The organic reach is so
yeah.
bad right now.
Yeah. So, you know, social media is just... It works for some people and organizations, some doesn't. And
yeah.
like, it's hard to force that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, kind of just speaking from experience, like I remember when I first started like doing all this like branding and,
mm-hmm.
and kind of starting Beneath Vancouver, it was, there was some upflow, and then all of a sudden, like, not necessarily blaming it on like, obviously the algorithm, there's a lot of things that go beyond just that, but all the variables just didn't seem to be hitting right.
Mm.
And then that's when I kind of realized like I can't just be living off this one platform, in this case Instagram. So that's when I made a Facebook page, started posting more on the Facebook page, started a podcast, mm. maybe produced my content in a different medium. We're thinking of doing a YouTube channel as well. Obviously, that's a different story in itself, mm-hmm. but just making sure that as a brand, you don't want to just be living off of that, because it's especially mm-hmm. hard now to be able to engage with the audience if people aren't seeing the content. And you obviously put the time and the effort to, like in your case, shoot, mm-hmm. edit, and produce it, and then not necessarily saying that that's the end goal to obviously get mm-hmm. the content out, but you do want to at least see some results, right? And see that your time's worth it.
Yeah. That's fair. And like right now, I'm shooting a lot of conferences, but like to grow my brand and like have people know in Vancouver that there's a guy like me.
Yeah.
I need to actually shoot what people enjoy now. It's like, okay, I got to find really attractive girls.
Yeah.
And a great.
We're putting the call out.
A great golden hour.
Yeah.
And then shoot that. But like that's something obviously I like shooting, mm-hmm. but something about event photography that really gets me in, and like it's capturing the moment and all that, and and it's like it's hard to grow.
And you obviously want to stay to your roots, but at the same time it's like you kind of put the balance in, like, okay, I do maybe follow the route that's working for everyone, mm-hmm. and kind of, you know, not necessarily stay to my roots, or mm-hmm. do I just keep grinding it out in this case event photography or mm-hmm. whatever. So yeah, it's tough, and you definitely want to see the growth, but at the same time, you don't want to, I guess for lack of a word, be a sellout.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like, there's obviously a lot of people now that even with iPhones and the ability of, not just iPhones, but smartphones mm-hmm. in general and the cameras that they have, and everyone just seem now to pick up a camera and just mm-hmm. go out and shoot. It seems to me, at least within Vancouver, that it's something like, for me, it's photography and foodie blogs or foodie related content is one of the two that are like most saturated.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where I feel that the person behind the camera needs to start selling themselves and really start saying, like, this is the reason you should mm-hmm. choose me, or I'm better than X, Y, and Z, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where you said connections and the ability to speak and communicate with people really sure. pushes you to that next level.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the follow up to that would be, in this telling me how you were always interested in photography and that kind of stuff, what was when did you kind of see that connection between what you love to be doing in this case marketing and that aspect and your passion for photography? When mm-hmm. did you kind of make that link of like, holy shit, I can actually maybe mm-hmm. use both and, you know, create a path for me in one way?
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of marketing is just creating content
mm-hmm.
and using that content to drive more traction, right? And at the end of the day, your content might not be the main focus, mm-hmm. but it, especially with social media, that's a very big platform, and content creation is huge, especially for me at what I do there at my full-time jobs, like creating a lot of content, whether that's photos, videos, or using those photos and putting them into more and graphics like posters and all that, and just signage. Everything's so digital now. And, there's always a need for a person to take a good photo, and that seems to be me. And like, maybe that's why I haven't been fired yet.
Well, hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah.
I guess one piece of advice that I've always tell others, especially that are kind of shared our similar paths, where, you know, you're studying something in school, you might not like it, and then you obviously do something else on the side. What was kind of like, I guess, the feedback or coming myself from like a traditional kind of immigrant mm-hmm. family, it's very like, you know, cut and dry. You get mm-hmm. your degree, you go to school, you get a 9-to-5, and mm-hmm. that's your life for the rest of, you know, mm-hmm. 40, 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
What's been kind of like, I guess, your experience in that kind of path, and maybe you're divvying away from
I always support that your degree doesn't define you.
Mm-hmm.
110%. Either you really enjoy what you study, but then you want to do something else, or you just want to grind out the degree but you know where you can go.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that traditional universities are not the go-to for everyone. You know, there's a lot of programs here, especially in Vancouver, like BCIT, Langara, Kwantlen, art school,
film
school, all those are great. Trade schools are great. It just depends where you are at in life.
Mm-hmm.
Even for my parents, you know, they're traditional Chinese family. You know, my dad went to SFU and my mom went to BCIT. And up until I graduated, they still asked me, what are you studying? Because they didn't, especially my mom, who didn't understand what political science meant.
Mm-hmm.
And even then before, she's like, okay, psychology?
I
kind of understand that. I was like, what's political science? Like, are you becoming the next prime minister? It's like,
yeah.
Do I have to, like, what's going on? And I'm like, no, I want to do marketing. She's like, how? And every, almost like for a good 2 years straight, she'd talk about it. And like, I'm like, can you shut up? Like, I got it. I'm trying my best.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. And it finally worked out. And, you know, when I got hired, she's like, okay, like, my son actually knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, she supports what I do. And she knows that I'm good at communicating and photos. And I'm trying to do that. But, yeah, it's for people who are in those situations, mm-hmm. especially their families who are, like, from older generation don't understand that.
Yeah.
It's just doing something and bringing a proof to them that, you know, it's working out and like trying really hard to make it into reality.
Yeah.
Cause like, I don't support people who take that level of thinking, but never have any proof.
Yeah. And they never actually do anything.
It's all talk.
Yeah.
And that's not good. You know, you could talk around for like maybe half a year, and it's like, oh, it's working. But if it's 5 years and you're still saying that same statement, but you're still living in the basement of your mom's house, and like maybe you need to try something else.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I mean, and you said it perfectly. Your degree doesn't necessarily define you, especially in the generation that we live in now, where arguably you can do something from almost out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just boils down to, you know, actions speak louder than words, right? Mm-hmm. So like if you're, you know, all talk saying, oh yeah, I'm really wanting to do this. I really want to do this. I have a passion for this. And, you know, you have the opportunity to do so. There's, you know, the limitations and the entry point for all of these things are so minimal now. And for you to still not take that risk and maybe spend that time that you could be doing that instead of, and you're going out maybe every weekend or you're, you know, watching Netflix 5 hours a day and you're still complaining how you don't like your life. Like for me, that's where it gets a little iffy, in the sense of, you know, you're saying all of this, but you have the opportunity to do it. Like, why aren't you doing it? And obviously that could boil down to another factor of like, oh, well, I don't want to disappoint Y. I don't want to disappoint X. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. It's scary, but it's all about execution, right? And the ability to execute, I feel, is the first step. And you might not even necessarily know step two, step three, step four, step five, but at least you're putting your feet in the water, and you're getting a feel of it, and you're actually going in the right direction, and you're doing something about that. So I guess what would be your kind of goals then, I guess, now that you've obviously got an understanding for marketing, it seems like that's obviously what you want to do not necessarily for the rest of your life, but obviously for at least now, that's kind of the career choice that you're taking. And obviously that can change, but what's your vision? Like if I were to ask you, Terrence, where do you see yourself in 2-3 years? What's kind of the goal?
Well, I'm doing a lot of order taking.
Okay.
I'd love to give orders. basically, if my manager is listening to this, I want your job. No, but like a lot right now, I'm fulfilling a lot of requests. You know, AMS is huge,
yeah.
And we have a lot of, you know, we have shared a lot of friends who are actually in the AMS, and you know, from the student team, from the, you know, catering team, from the food and bev team, and from everyone else, and like they're like, oh, I want this, I want that, and like obviously that's my job, and I, you know, I have to do them, and I enjoy doing them, But I'd like to focus more on brand management and strategic and all that, all the strategy behind that. And you know, I do enjoy content creation, so I'll do that here and there. But I'd love to be more on the macro side of things.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And planning that out. And within this organization, it might not be possible.
Yeah.
That's fair. So my goal right now is probably move into brand and marketing. They won't pay very well, and they do stuff that I do enjoy. Every 2 months at UBC, there's a huge marketing meeting, and it's all the marketing individuals on campus. And the last time I had a meeting, I forgot his name, but the one of the guys who does a lot of statistical analysis on social media over at the brand and marketing team is
actually Houston.
Was it Houston? It's a tall. Tall, skinny dude.
Might be Houston.
Might be Houston.
Yeah, he does the SM.
I'm
assuming he also does the analytics.
Yeah, I forgot his name, but anyways, he used to be one of the graphic design managers at the AMS.
Oh, okay.
And he moved over, and obviously he never came back because it's a great job over there. So yeah, that's something I want to do in the foreseeable future, and everything they do there, it's like the UBC community is great.
Yeah.
So you can't say no to a good job.
Did you ever think to yourself, hey, when I graduate, because I know for a lot of people, like when they graduate, they're like, I want to get out of here. I don't want to see the school anymore. Is it ever kind of like, not as many, I guess interesting is the word, or interesting that like you see yourself even after you graduate, you're back to where you arguably spent the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's weird going to school and seeing everyone's stress. Yeah. And I can go home and sleep.
Yeah.
Like I, you know, right now I'm at the Nest, which is where I spent already all 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I still see all my friends and they always ask me like, didn't you graduate?
I'm
It's like, what are you doing here? Yeah. Like, I work for the EMS. Like, is that full time? Are you getting paid? I'm like, yeah. It's like, cool, why are you here? I work here, like why can't I work here? Mm-hmm. But it is weird. There were a couple jobs that it was bouncing between.
I was gonna ask you if there were other opportunities.
So during the summer there were mainly three, AMS not included, because I didn't even know.
Yeah,
actually maybe two. There was TransLink offered me a job at the it was a marketing job over all the way at their new office in New West.
Ooh, okay.
Which kind of sucked.
Yeah, a bit of a transit.
Even though I drive, it's still taking Industrial Ave is just
rush hour. Nightmare.
Yeah. So it was a nice office though, and nice people there. But they only offered me a 4 month position, and maybe if they have the funds, which is like usually how does TransLink not have the funds?
My 275 isn't enough, or well, I have a compass card, but yeah,
exactly. And then another place, it's called the Vigilant. One of our friends, Kevin's uncle used to work there, which is
really
they basically lead the industry in AI security.
Oh wow.
And they had a spot there as well. But that was more on internals. It was a communications job.
Oh, okay.
Which is, it was still cool. Yeah,
it's still like a start, right?
One of the great hooks they had on me was that you get to travel. You get to travel 4 times a year, all paid for and all that.
Like for conferences?
For internal purposes.
Oh, like for like a retreat kind of?
No, like not even a retreat. It's you fly out there and you just engage the people at that office. Yeah. I'm like, okay, which... that's really weird, but it included Boston, Portugal.
Oh wow!
And I forgot some.
Yeah, I mean, any job that you can travel, I feel
exactly. But it was like she's like, oh yeah, you got to go to Boston and really like engage those computer sciences that are straight coming out of the schools there. I'm like,
to kind of bring them into the company. Okay,
yeah,
bring them
into the company. I'm like,
so like a recruiter-esque style, sort of. Okay,
but yeah, but then at the end of the day, and like I'm like, okay, so I ended up here, which. Which is cool still.
Yeah.
UBC is cool.
Yeah. Where was that office, Vancouver as well? Or
That one was downtown, the old TELUS Garden.
Oh.
Yeah. Which shit. Is, I walked in and I didn't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, you can just sit down here.
It's fine. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. That office was sick. So, surrounded by all the great food places.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd have been broke and fat.
Yeah. That's how they get you, man. Oh, my God. So, like, I guess obviously. We kind of know the story behind everything and kind of what you've been doing and stuff like that. What would, what would be one piece of advice that you'd give your, I always kind of ask this to people, one piece of advice that you'd give your formal self, doesn't have to be necessarily like from 4 years ago, it can even be maybe like last week, right? Something recent that kind of, that you thought of, but just like a piece of advice that you'd say younger Terrence.
Younger Terrence?
Yeah.
Don't research before buying your stuff.
Okay.
10 out of 10. Especially with artists, especially. They always need the greatest equipment on the market. And I never thought far enough. I kind of regret the stuff I have now.
You mean like on the equipment side?
Yeah. As I'm holding my iPad Pro.
Yeah.
mostly cameras. Made a lot of mistakes buying cameras. Lenses. So for me, telling my younger self or people now is like, you don't need the greatest equipment to take quality photos or make quality content. And there's, you'd hit boundaries eventually.
Yeah, but like a bottleneck.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that for most people, once they hit that bottleneck, they really could afford, and it really justifies to upgrade. And probably from my past, it's I never hit that point. I just felt like I needed it.
Yeah.
And it's not good for the wallet. and it doesn't push you to become a better artist.
Yeah.
I was watching a video by Peter McKinnon.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's the man. Yeah.
Yeah. He swears by, he always uses his 1DX Mark II, mm-hmm. and he tried, was it, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Peter, but he tried a video, and he's like, just using the very standard camera. And there's a lot of photographers online that do this, and like they're still taking quality content.
Was it the one like, can you distinguish the difference? Yeah. It's like 300 to like a 3000 or something.
Or it could be it could have been his partner he used to share it off. Anyways, okay. Bottom line is you can get a cheap camera and still make quality content. Mm-hmm. And then you know, I still struggle with that every day.
Yeah.
I go on Best Buy and I look for nice stuff.
Like the new Sony that just, well, not, it's out, is it already out? The new
it's
one?
It's out on pre-order.
Yeah.
The new Sony A7.
Seven something.
Is it the A7 R3?
I think it's
yeah, something like that.
Some high-end. Like
it's got 60 megapixels.
Yeah.
a full frame mirrorless with 60 megapixels.
For our audience, what camera do you use?
I use the Nikon 7200. Okay. It's a crop camera for Nikon, and it's near the top for crop cameras.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, right now I'm trying to take my leap into, well, one, full frame, because mm-hmm. I need it eventually. But two, ditching Nikon and all my lenses for them.
Yeah.
And going over to Canon.
Canon. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not Sony?
No, not Sony. I don't have to say I have big hands, mm-hmm. but I've tried using Sony's before, and then my hands cramp.
Oh,
they
just, shit.
They're not ergonomic.
Yeah,
for
they
sure.
don't look that
They're
nice.
Really boxy.
Yeah.
So the
especially with the, well, you'll get the grip anyways, but yeah, probably, for sure. But
it's still quite boxy. So it was either it's still right now between like the Z6 and the Canon EOS R.
Mm.
But I lenses are expensive.
Yeah, man, they're like, it's pretty crazy. Like I know one guy. Shout out to Hayden. We linked up not too long ago. He was recording a talk for one of the events down mm-hmm. at UBC, and his entire bag, like his lens alone, was I think almost like $2,500-$3,000. I'm like, mm-hmm. dude, that's insane. Mm-hmm. And obviously, he does that like for a living, for sure. And he's like professional and everything like mm-hmm. that. But I guess it kind of puts it into perspective of like. All the time and money that a creative needs to put into, obviously not just equipment wise, but more on the time side, learning everything, mm-hmm. learning, you know, if you're a videographer, After Effects or Premiere mm-hmm. or Final Cut, whatever you use, if you're a photographer, Lightroom, Photoshop, etc. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of people don't realize that it's not just the guy or the person just coming in into the, like for example, at an event and just mm-hmm. taking pictures, okay, yeah. I'm out. It's yeah. taking the time also after that and taking exactly. the time to learn all yeah. of that stuff and what you need and what the message that you're trying to get across.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's one thing that I've seen that struggles the most for, mm-hmm. or that Vancouver struggles the most, especially in the creative scene. It's getting mm-hmm. a little bit better, but mm-hmm. I've met a lot of people, photographers, videographers, where they say like, yeah, I just feel like businesses or clients, mm-hmm. I'm using quotes, undervalue the preparation, really, mm-hmm. that comes down to everything that you yeah. need to do.
It's businesses looking for videographers or photographers, and they're giving you crappy quotes.
Yeah,
like we were talking last time, and you're looking at Craigslist.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And it was a couple hours of shooting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For like $20. Or
it was ridiculous.
Like, ridiculous.
No, it was something.
It was
first of all, it was a wedding that you
yeah.
had to travel there yourself, and if you're coming from Richmond, so let's say we're coming from mm-hmm. Richmond. I think it was out in New West or even further than that,
yeah.
maybe even Tri-City area.
Yeah.
So that in alone is like a $40 gas tank
yeah,
right
for
there.
Sure.
I think there is I think he estimated, or the person that made the ad estimated, 12 to 14 hours just of shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously they wanted the photos edited after mm-hmm. that within, let's say, 3-day time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And he was giving, I think he was offering only $250. And I was just like, oh, and keep in mind, you have to bring all your equipment.
Oh,
you
yeah.
have to bring everything yourself.
Yeah.
You know, everything is provided by
yeah.
by the individual. And I sent it to Terrence, and I was just like,
yeah,
take a look at this.
I thought you were gonna do it.
Personally. No, dude, fuck no, dude. It's like all the way down there. I'm like, dude, that alone. I don't know. Like, what would you think would be a read? I would say no less than $800.
14 hours.
Like
12 to 14.
Depending
plus,
obviously
yeah,
on the experience
sure.
and everything.
Yeah.
But I would say maybe on average. Like, how do you calculate that?
Okay, it depends on what's your rate though?
What would you be considering? Obviously, you're a little bit more involved into it than I am.
Yeah. Well, so for what I charge right now, just shooting alone would cost $1,800.
Holy shit. Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so one of my friends, shout out to Will.
Yeah.
William, like he shoots a lot of crazy events.
Yeah.
He shot a couple times at the NBA. And he charges $600 an hour.
An hour.
Yeah. And you know, obviously there's some friend rates, or yeah. It depends on like the amount of moving mm-hmm. he actually has to do. You know, weddings are like crazy, obviously, yeah. but I mean, it just depends on the setup. So he's around that range, and like sometimes he puts the editing, and depends on like what kinds of, oh, am I giving you 8 photos? Am I giving you 20?
Yeah.
Am I giving you unlimited? Like, right. And he told me, it's like, even for starters, and you know, if you have a consistent, you know, you had jobs before and mm-hmm. you've got good content and you have a good portfolio, really, he said the lower boundary is like $150
an hour.
And obviously, you know, it depends. Like, if you're shooting for a friend or you're just shooting some still, like, headshots, you mm-hmm. can go lower.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
anything like event photography or anything, and you have to start commuting, $150 is not that bad.
It's pretty
average. Yeah. And then you're spending hours after, like, right? So like, the event I'm shooting on Saturday, I'm only shooting the opening ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the conference, I'm not touching. And the lady was kind enough to tell me that, oh yeah, she's hiring some photographers doing $20 an hour for like 8 hours. I'm like, shh, that person is okay. You gotta invest in the gear.
Yeah.
So he's making, just say he works 8, he'd be making like, what, $160.
Yeah, that's not even an SD card.
Yeah. Yeah, he's better off going to flip burgers.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're shooting with. Obviously, they could be shooting with a very bad camera, but mm-hmm. they could be shooting also be with very expensive camera.
Yeah.
And for a person to charge $20 an hour, without editing and all that, it's just like it's kind of bad.
Yeah, no, it puts it into kind of perspective, and obviously it's a bit of like a double-edged mm-hmm. sword. If you're just especially just starting up, mm-hmm. you obviously don't want to be charging ridiculous rates, but then mm-hmm. it's also that fine line of where you don't want to undervalue yourself yeah. and your time, like yeah. as you said right now, if you're only doing, you know, let's say $20 an hour, then and if you're only doing it, let's say, to invest money to get a better camera
sure.
or to push yourself to the exactly. next level, then yeah, you're better off yeah. just doing something else, or maybe yeah. doing that and then also something else on the side, because
yeah.
there's a lot of variables obviously that go into that, yeah. but it's funny that yeah. that we brought that up, because yeah, it's pretty it's gotten to the point where a lot of it, and this is kind of going on a different tangent now, but
yeah.
are you familiar with the subreddit Choosing Beggars?
No,
that's literally all I did. Hopefully, like, no one from my co-op is listening to this, but literally on my when it was like super slow, I just go on Reddit and I just go on Choosing Beggars, and essentially the biggest point of that that subreddit
yeah.
is people begging for some sort of work. So I'd always see like pictures of people asking for a commission, and
yeah.
then they're like, oh yeah, it'll be like just something simple, like $10, like mm-hmm. like a quick logo or whatever, and then people would say like, oh, but you love doing it, why isn't it free? Like, that's like the biggest thing that I've seen. You
yes.
love doing it, why aren't you doing it for free? Or I'll pay you an exposure.
Yeah. That's why I actually don't like shooting with friends.
Yeah,
because you shoot them once and it's like, okay, I've never shoot anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
It helps my portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time coming is like, okay, you're asking for a little bit more. I kind of
higher quality, better edits,
better edits, more work, more outfits. So I have to be there for
yeah.
longer. But you're my friend, so like
yeah.
you're not gonna pay me.
Yeah.
And then they do this for like, you know, for extended period of time, which kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to avoid shooting for friends.
Yeah, yeah, and it's you know, you at the end of the day, you're using your time, and time is the only resource you can't get back.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, there's again a fine line
yeah.
between doing a favor
yeah.
and yeah, you do it once, okay, that's fine. But if like you're considered now their photographer and like,
mm-hmm.
oh, come on, Terrence, like, you know,
yeah.
we'll do another 8-hour shoot. And
yeah.
the worst part about that is maybe those content pieces that you're putting
yeah.
out for them can get them other, you know, some sort
mm-hmm.
of opportunity, whether
mm-hmm.
it be like with another brand and
for
stuff
sure.
like that. So yeah, I think the creative industry in general is very wishy-washy, bit of a gray area. Sometimes people are undervalued, sometimes people are overvalued.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, you know, charging ridiculous amounts for
yeah.
the work that's just not there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just a matter of being confident and being, you know, able to tell whoever you're working with, like, you know, this is my quote, this is why I think I'm worth X quote.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find someone else for cheaper, then that's fine, but just
yeah.
keep in mind the quality of work might not be there.
Sure.
Like, at the end of the day, you're obviously paying for
yeah.
what you're getting.
That's the importance of a good just good portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I use a website.
Yeah.
And there's I showcase mostly my nicest stuff.
Yeah, of course.
And then I have an archive full of bajillion other stuff. If ever comes to it that someone wants their cat taking a photo of.
Yeah.
But
you never know, man.
I never know. but right now it's like, yeah, like even I sort of avoid shooting at work because mm-hmm. I don't want to use the company camera, which sucks. So I'd bring my own gear. But mm-hmm. again, it's like, you know, I bring my own gear, then it, you know, you run the risk of ruining your gear or whatnot. Like, you just have to take better care of it. But like, just bring your gear and having to use that for work kind of sucks. But then at the same time, your coworkers kind of want, or your company just wants good, you know, just good photos or mm-hmm. good content. And for a person that, for a lot of people know I do the AMS marketing and they follow my social media channels or they see the graphics I make or whatnot and wherever that gets printed on here. And they're like, oh, Terrence made that. I don't want people to see that taken with poor gear or just, So
it's like your reputation, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm actually getting like all these, you know, coworkers in their different departments and like, hey, Terrence, can you shoot this event?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I could try, but it's at 7 p.m. on a weekday.
On a weekday.
And my hours don't cover up to that. And my manager's like, hey, just take it. Because like, you're not built for it.
Yeah.
And if you do, then you're taking time out from doing actual work.
Yeah.
So that sucks too. Mm. But yeah, generally the industry now is a lot of people just, especially restaurants. I know a couple of friends that do food blogging.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really great at what they do, you know, just beyond the photos. They're really good at just
creating content around it
and just being an actual food critic.
Yeah, instead of just like...
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, I think we both know.
Exactly. And then they'll get restaurants that are like pop-ups and they'll be like, hey, I'd love for you to come and check out our place and give us feedback. It's like, great. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you... Are you hiring us or are you invited us? It's like, no, there's nothing, but we'll give you a shout-out. It's like,
yeah.
A shout-out won't mean anything to me at this point.
Yeah.
It's like... Yeah, and that really sucks in Vancouver because people take a lot of artists and all that for granted.
Yeah, it's it gets to the point where it's obviously transactional, and then mm-hmm. but at the same time, people don't understand that it has to go both ways. Like, yeah, okay, if I'm going in there, I'm taking my time to, you know, critique your food or mm-hmm. give you feedback, and you're giving me a shout out, like,
mm-hmm.
what's the value in that, right? Mm-hmm. And why am I taking my 4 hours or whatever amount of the time out of my day to go in there? And obviously there's some people that are just like, do it for the sake of doing it, and that's mm-hmm. totally fine. But there's obviously people that do that potentially for a living, right? Or some mm-hmm. sort of, like, not necessarily for a living, or maybe they even have some side income for that. So mm-hmm. I mean, it's all subjective. I think for the bottom line, for anyone who's kind of listening that does creative work in one way or another, is know your worth. Stay true to your roots, in the sense of, this is what I believe I should be paid, or, you know, compensated for my work. If that means only, you know, a certain amount of the time because you're a beginner, or if you're an expert, then mm-hmm. obviously you want to be charging relevant to that experience, and make sure people know that, like, it's beyond just me going in there and taking the pictures or the video. It's the amount of time that I put in prior to learn everything, then the time that I put in after to mm-hmm. edit everything, and making sure that it's a good piece of, you know, content or finished product for who you're working with. 100%. So I think that's a pretty good way to kind of end it off. I know a lot of the people that listen to this podcast and follow the show and everything are, you know, entrepreneurs, creatives, mm-hmm. people within that industry. So I know that they'll take some insights from that. I guess just to wrap it up, anything else that you wanted to add in the sense of the podcast or anything like that?
Well, thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming out.
I know we've been talking about this for a long time.
Yes, it's been a long time coming.
It's been a long time.
It's been...
You're busy.
I'm busy. You're busy. Like, obviously, you work full time. And I'm only taking 4 courses, and honestly, they're not that hard, but I feel like I'm doing 20 million other things.
I know a person that's taking 1 course, and they're stressed.
Really?
Yes, 100%.
Oh, well, I don't know. I try to keep it all, like, you know, again, subjective. Like, there's obviously different kind of things, but...
Sure. 4 courses, it's pretty hefty, too.
Yeah, and then I'm finishing up, right? So I got then 5 left, so... but it's... obviously, it's been a pleasure having you. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, you know, we have a lot of mutual friends and stuff like that, and people that can benefit from this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And where can people find you? Where can people find Terrence?
Find me on Terrence Tang with 2 G's. That's my personal account. But if they want to look at my photos, it's on Terrence KC Tang.
Mm-hmm.
Website, Instagram, all that.
Terrence KC Tang?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, make sure to give him some BV love. Give mm-hmm. Terrence a... some love on his Instagram and his portfolio. If you guys ever need event photography or any really sort of,
or they're on the campus,
or if you're on campus. Campus
and they want free food at the Nest, I got you.
Yeah, just hit up Terrence. It's all about the connections, right? That's what we've been saying for the last couple of minutes. So, thank you again, Terrence. It's been a pleasure.
It's cool.
And I hope all of our listeners have a good rest of your day, and hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Take care, everyone.